I'm going to basically be sharing, I guess we'll call it a New Year's message today. I wasn't here last Sunday, so today's my New Year's address for you. And so that's where we're headed today. Before we start, I just want to remind you once again that we do have a prayer list out in the foyer there. You can pick one up, and just to remember to pray for one another. And, you know, I was away for a week, and a lot happened in a week. And so different things, operations, illnesses, sicknesses. And so we need to pray for one another. So we've tried to note those on that sheet there, and then there'll be other things that we can add to that through the month. So do that and pick one of them up and pray for those folks in particular, and then for us as a group. So let's just pray together, and then we'll look at the Word of God. Father, we thank you again today, Lord, for meeting with us. We thank you for the Word of God, which is light to our souls. We ask that as we look at it, Lord, that you would open our hearts and our minds to what you have to say to us. Lord, your word is full of instructions for us, how we can live successfully for you each and every day. But it's also full of promises that we can claim. And so, God, help us to see both of those things today. Lord, both what you require from us and, Lord, what you will do for us, Lord, in response to that obedience. And we just thank you, Lord, for giving us this wonderful truth. And so we ask that the Spirit of God would come along, be our teacher, be our guide, as we consider the Word of God today. Lord, for those who can't be here today, we ask, God, that you'll just minister to them where they're at. Lord, those who are sick and can't make it here, we just ask, God, that you'll just meet with them today, Lord, and that you would encourage and strengthen their hearts. Lord, those who are sick today, Lord, we ask in a special way that you'll touch their bodies and just help them, Lord, to be healed from their ailments. Lord, we thank you that you are able, Lord, to meet every one of our needs in our life. Lord, if we will just look to you and trust you. Lord, sometimes, Lord, we will go through trials and situations, but you've told us that your grace is sufficient for us in our times of weakness. So we cling to that today. We trust in that today. And so, God, we ask that you'll meet with us as we consider these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we begin another new year, and you know, usually when we begin a new year, we take time to assess where we are and where we want to go. Many people make New Year's resolutions, but as most of you have experienced, as I have, they usually don't last. They usually don't stick very well. Quite often, you know, the resolution to get in shape. My son tells me round is a shape, so it's okay. You know, to get in shape or to, you know, to eat better, to be healthy, to lose weight, and all those kind of things. We often make those types of commitments. But to meet those goals, to meet those expectations that we have of ourselves, we often have to adjust our priorities in life. So, because quite often, the reason we fail in some of those areas is because of a lack of good priorities in our life. And so we, at this time, stop to assess what do we value most in life? What do we value most? Do we value our work, our jobs, our family, recreation, leisure, our finances, our business goals, physical goals, and even spiritual goals? We stop and we assess these things, and we kind of put them in an order. As we are going to look in the scripture today, I believe that Jesus summed up the subject of priority in one phrase, I believe. So I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And this is part of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave to his disciples, and I think a bunch of other people listened in as he was talking to his disciples. In Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 25. So follow along as we read. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Reading that far this morning. There was a woman who bought a parrot to keep her company, but she returned the parrot the next day. This bird doesn't talk, she told the store owner. Does he have a mirror in his cage? The store owner asked. Parrots love mirrors. They see the reflection and it helps them to start a conversation. So the woman bought a mirror and left. The next day she returned. The bird still wasn't talking. Well, how about a ladder? Parrots love ladders. A happy parrot is a talkative parrot. So the woman bought a ladder and left. But the next day, she was back. Maybe the parrot needs a swing. Does your parrot have a swing? No. Well, that's the problem. Once he starts swinging, he'll be talking up a storm. The woman didn't want to keep buying stuff and had little confidence that the swing would work, but she bought it, took it home, and put it in the parrot's cage. Got my tongue flopped over my eye teeth, couldn't see what I was saying. But the parrot just didn't seem to even notice it. When she walked into the store the next day, she seemed a bit angry. Something had changed in her attitude. What's the matter now? The store owner asked. Well, that parrot you sold me died, she said. The store owner was shocked. I'm so sorry. Tell me, did he ever say a word? Yes, he did. Right before he died, the woman replied. In a weak voice, he asked me, Ock, don't they sell any food at that pet store? You see, in that case, her priority was company, and his was just living. So as we look at the scripture here, as Jesus addressed his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, I believe that he gave this one concise statement on priority. He said this, seek first the kingdom of God. I believe that if we're going to boil down the priority of life, especially in a spiritual context, we can boil it down to this one thing. Seek first the kingdom of God. Well, let me just spell this out a little bit more. Seek, it starts with the word seek. And the word seek here is an active command. It will not just come to us. We must be intentionally engaged in the process. It says seek. Just the men here who go fishing. They have to go seeking for their lobster, their scallop, whatever fish they're fishing. They have to go seeking for them. They go after them. The same is true. It says seek. It's an active command. It's what we need to be intentionally engaged in. And then it says seek first. And the word first here means above all else. Or make it your chief objective and your aim. Make it in your life priority one. Seek first. Above all things, seek. And he says, seek what? The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the rule of God upon this earth. And it's primarily the rule of God within the lives of his people. And so I think we can sum up the goal and the motivation, the priority of life. Seek above all, the rule of God in this world and in our lives. Earlier in this chapter, Jesus was talking to his disciples about prayer. And as he taught them, he gave them a model. We often call this the Lord's Prayer, but it's actually the disciples' prayer. It's Jesus teaching his disciples how to pray. And as he taught them to pray, as he gave them this model for prayer, he said this to them: pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then what did he say next? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We know that the will of God is always done in heaven, but he said, pray that the will of God will be done on earth as well as in heaven. And so God's kingdom, it's obvious from the scripture, has both a future and a present context. Yes, we believe that one day Jesus will return to this earth. He will return to this earth to set up his earthly eternal kingdom. But today, as we live this life, day by day, we're involved in the work of the kingdom, which is declaring the grace and the love of God to all the people of the world. We're involved in that kingdom work, and we need to do that. Seek first the kingdom of God, God's rule, God's reign in this earth. I also notice that in the context of this teaching, he also knows and he understands that we get distracted. And we often get consumed with the concerns and the problems and the needs of this life. Because look what he said in the text. He says, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? See, these were the things that were of the primary concern. He says, all the Gentiles seek after this. But I suspect that many times in our lives, these are the things that consume us. These are the things that concern us also in our lives. You'll remember before the new year came, there was much in the news from the U.S. about the impending fiscal cliff, is what they called it. There was a widespread fear that they would be thrust into another recession because of their national debt, because of the legislated tax increases that were set to take place on January 1st in the States. And to this point, they've kind of averted the crisis. But for the moment, the stress on those who it would have affected, those who are already suffering from hardships and job losses and that, it must have been a tremendous burden on those particular people. And they were very concerned. And even sometimes in our lives, we find ourselves in those situations. So if we're in that situation, how do we apply Jesus' teaching to situations such as this? He says, seek first the kingdom of God. But we're in crisis. We don't have enough food. We don't have a good job. And how do we apply this to our lives? But I want you to note that this command comes with a promise. And so as we see the command and then we see followed by the promise, we just have to ask ourselves, can I trust God to keep his promise? It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's the command. And then it has the promise. And all these things, the things that we're concerned about, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear, all these things, he says, will be added to you. And so that's the promise. Do we trust God to keep his promise? So as we look at this particular verse, we can, I guess, simplify it once again. He is saying, trust me above all things. Trust me above all things, and all that you have need of will be supplied. I'm not talking about the prosperity gospel or anything like that. I'm not talking about health and wealth gospel. I'm not talking about things like that. I'm talking about simply taking God at his word, putting him first, seeking his kingdom, his priorities first, and then he says, and I'll look after all of the other things. So is this something that we can put our stock in, that we can believe in today? Back in the Old Testament, God confronted the nation of Israel with a similar situation. They had been withholding their required offerings and were even offering blemished sacrifices to the Lord. They had experienced hardships because of their unfaithfulness, so he addresses them with both a rebuke and with a promise at the same time. In Malachi chapter 3, in verse 8, we read this: "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." And then in verse 10 he says this: "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." And so you see here, he starts out with a rebuke. He's rebuking the people for withholding what was their obligation under the law, which was their tithes and their offering, and then offering blemishes, sacrifices that weren't worthy to be offered to the Lord. He says, "You've robbed me in this sense. That's why you're in your hardship. But if you will come back and you will obey what I've told you, then I will bless you abundantly in such a way that you could never, ever imagine." And so this text in the Old Testament is definitely similar to what Jesus is telling us here in Matthew chapter 6. It's a command and it is a promise. What do you think would happen if we seriously put this command into action every day of our lives? Every thought that we make, every thought that we have, every decision that we make, every action, every reaction. If we were to consider in each situation of life, will this decision that I make, will it enhance or will it hinder the kingdom of God? And if we were to do that, wouldn't it have a dramatic impact on both us personally and then the world around us? In 1896, Charles Sheldon wrote a book called In His Steps. Perhaps some of you have read this book. It was originally written for his Sunday school class, and he presented basically one section of it every week to a Sunday school class. But it got recorded in the newspaper on a weekly basis as a weekly column, this particular book. And in it, the character, which kind of mirrored him, I think, basically, Reverend Henry Maxwell, was the pastor of an upscale and influential church. And he challenges the congregation with this one thought: what would Jesus do? They were asked that over the next year, they would ask that question before every decision they made. And as you read through the book, the results were amazing, both in the personal lives of the people and in the communities where they lived. What would Jesus do? They asked that question, and it made a huge impact in their lives and in their community. And it wasn't too long ago that some Christian merchandiser rebranded this idea. Everybody remember that? You know, the t-shirts and the bracelets and all that. WWJD was around here just a few years ago, reemphasizing this idea that Charles Sheldon had presented back in the 1800s. But what impact do you suppose living daily Jesus statement would have? Seek first. Seek as a matter of priority the kingdom of God. What impact would that have on us and on those around us? And then, would you be confident to do this, knowing that it's attached with a promise, that if you do this, seek the kingdom of God first as a matter of priority, then you would know that there's a promise there, and all these things will be added to you. See, the application and the challenge here to you today is personal. It'll be personal in each and every one of our lives. See, in your life, you know where your priorities are. And you know where they should be. You know where you excel in obedience. And you also know where you lack. But I just want to suggest perhaps some ideas where we, or I guess I, me, personally need to evaluate whether I help or whether I hinder the kingdom of God. I thought of in the area of time management. It's true that no matter what our stature in life, whether we're rich or poor, we all have one commodity in common, don't we? And that's the commodity of time. And how I use the time that's allotted to me is very important. The scripture tells us in the book of Ephesians that we need to redeem the time because the days are evil. We need to learn to redeem the time and use our time effectively, manage our time properly. Another area that we can evaluate whether we enhance or hinder the kingdom of God is in our relationships. Do all the relationships we have honor God? Or do they bring reproach to Him? We consider that in all of our relationships. Another area that we can ask this question is in our finances. We've read there in the Old Testament. Because we know that it's true that all that we have, all that we possess, are gifts from God. And we're just simply called upon to be good stewards of all the resources that He has given us. And the promise that comes with this is the fact that when we trust Him completely, He will see to it that we do not lack anything that we need. Isn't that the key? Isn't that the secret? We will not lack anything that we need. And then another area we might need to evaluate is in our recreation. Although it's true we all need to have some fun, we need to, you know, let down our hair, so to speak. Well, some people. But we need to be rejuvenated. We need to care for our bodies because they're the temples of the Holy Spirit. But in all of these settings of recreation, we can be salt, we can be light, and we can be ambassadors for the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God, He says, and then all of these things, all of these areas, will be added to you. Certainly we have concerns, we have worries sometimes, but He says, don't worry about those things. Make this a priority, an aim. Seek first the kingdom, and then all of these things will be added to you. Let me read you this account. When Dr. W.A. Criswell was preaching in Chicago, he was hosted at the home of Deacon James L. Kraft, who was superintendent of the Sunday school and founder of Kraft Foods. As they visited, Kraft shared with him that as a young man, he had a desire to be the most famous manufacturer and salesman of cheese in the world. He planned on becoming rich and famous by making and selling cheese. So he began as a young fellow with a little buggy pulled by a pony named Patty. After making his cheese, the youth would load his wagon, and he and Patty would drive down the streets of Chicago to sell the cheese. As the months passed, young Kraft began to despair because he was not making any money in spite of his long hours and hard work. One day he pulled his pony to a stop and began to talk to him. He said, "Patty, there's something wrong. We are not doing things right. I'm afraid that we have things turned around. Our priorities are not where they should be. Maybe we ought to serve God and place Him first in our lives." Kraft then drove home and made a covenant that for the rest of his life he would first serve God and then work as God directed him. Many years after this, Dr. Criswell heard James Kraft say, "I would rather be a layman in the North Shore Baptist Church than to head the greatest corporation in America. My first job is to serve Jesus. Here's an example of someone who, when he put God first, made his kingdom as his number one priority, all of these things were added to him. And there's probably more stories. I've read many, many stories the same way. When we make that choice, when we make that commitment, when we make that covenant, I'm going to put God first in everything. And then he'll look after all of the rest. Here's my question. Would you today like to take on that challenge? To every day and in every circumstance, to seek first the kingdom of God. Would you like to take on that challenge? Make that commitment today to seek first the kingdom of God in everything. Because I believe today that if we honestly and sincerely do this, then we will be blessed with his promise. And all these things will be added to you. I believe that's true. I believe that we can see tremendous things happen in our lives, in our life as a congregation, if we sincerely and honestly do that. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up, and we're gonna finish with a song, and it's a song that's asking us to make a decision, to make a commitment to this, what we've been talking about. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. If we put Jesus first, then he promises to look after us, to meet our needs. And not only that, but to make us who we need to be, to make us the light and the example in our community that we strive to be, to preach the kingdom of God so people can come to know Christ as Savior as we do. They can have eternal life, be blessed forever. Jesus, all for Jesus. Can you sing that honestly today? I want to live fully, totally for Jesus this year. I want to seek first the kingdom of God in everything, knowing full well that God will look after everything else if I will simply do that. Let's stand together and sing this song. And if God's spoken to you and you want to make that commitment to him today to live for him fully.